as long as you're not talking political correctness. Bob McCowan in Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Thursday, August 28th. The month is almost done. Summer is almost over. This is Primetime Sports. I am Jeff Blair, sitting in for Bob McCowan. Ken Reed of Sportsnet will roll in around 5 o'clock and be my co-host for the final 2 hours of our TV and radio show. Pretty big day for those of us here at Sportsnet today as the details of the announcers who will be bringing you our new NHL package have been released, and we'll be all over that throughout the show, as you can imagine. Kevin Barker, Blue Jays analyst, will also join us. The Jays have today off. They're actually at Jose Bautista's golf tournament today. They'll start a 3-game series against the New York Yankees tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. It will be your last chance to see Derek Jeter in a Yankees uniform in Toronto. And Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Raptors, he's going to join us. Christine Brennan, one of our favorites from USA Today. We're going to talk about a couple of stories with her. ESPN, of course, making news with their coverage of Michael Sam and the showering situation in St. Louis. Having been a reporter, I know exactly what the thought process was in putting together that report. And it's one of those things that as soon as you start doing it, you realize this isn't going to work. But we'll talk about that. And, Roger Goodell apologized today for his mishandling of the Ray Rice situation, which, you know, nicely done. He is going to put in place a more defined set of rules for future transgressors. So Christine Brennan will join us, and then Wilner. Yeah. The guy doesn't even take the day off. No game. Mike Wilner will join us. He is, of course, the host of Jay's Talk. Mike Wilner's joining us from the X. What the hell is he doing calling us from the X? Like, do we want to talk to him that badly? Seriously. Anyhow, Wilner's going to join us later on from the X. I don't even want to begin. I don't know why you would. Just enjoy the day off. Anyhow, Wilner will join us. So I'm watching the Jays game last night and watching Marcus Stroman. I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you've listened to this show, if you've listened to my show, I've talked about how important I think the young pitchers are to the Blue Jays' future. You know, it's absolutely, positively incumbent on this organization to have a surplus of cost-effective, cheap, homegrown pitching. It doesn't matter what your payroll is. You can make a lot of hay if you got cost-effective, homegrown pitching. So I'm watching Stroman pitch. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, in a lot of ways, even though this season is turning out not quite the way we all thought it would turn out in May. I know there's still time. It's early. I'm starting to see some building blocks that I haven't seen before in this organization. I'm thinking back to Kelvin Escobar, Chris Carpenter, Roy Halladay. There have been false springs since then, Ricky Romero and Sean Markham in particular. Although I don't think anybody ever really looked at Sean Markham as being anything other than a guy who was just going to kind of flash through the sky, a bit of a comet. He had a lot of delivery issues. Anyhow, so I'm watching Stroman pitch. I'm thinking about the young kids. And I started, because we're at that time of year where the J season is wrapping up, the Raptors, you know, they're going through, in the case of DeMar DeRozan, he's at the World Championships. We're getting ready. We're starting to talk a little bit or starting to think a little bit about training camp for the Raptors. Of course, the Leafs, the NHL season never ends. The Leafs are going to start training camp. I started thinking about the respective positions of the three Toronto teams. And, you know, because it's the summer and we're all kind of doing stuff and we're all kind of doing stuff with the kids because we're kind of getting the kids ready for school and kind of winding down. I wanted to just ask you, of the three Toronto teams, obviously the Leafs, the Raptors, and the Blue Jays, we know the Raptors made the playoffs last year. The three Toronto teams, who do you think is farthest along in being able to build sustainable excellence? I'm not talking about championships, but sustainable excellence. Which of the three Toronto franchises, the Leafs, the Raptors, and the Jays, are closest to the finish line? Which of the three franchises do you look at and think to yourself, yeah, there's something going on here? 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Want to focus on that. I want to talk a little bit as well. We'll talk more about Derek Jeter tomorrow. Whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk a little baseball, we can talk baseball too. But I want to focus right now on the three Toronto teams, closest and farthest from being able to say that they are in a position to sustain excellence. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're our leadoff hitter from Primetime Sports. What's up, Eddie?
Not much, Jeff. How are you doing today?
I am doing well.
I wanted to talk about something that you and Kevin Barker were talking about on Baseball Central, and that was the closer's job. First,
I'm going to ask you, who's closest? Three Toronto teams, who's closest to being able to say that they are, you know, that they can sustain excellence? Which of the three franchises is closer to the finish line, if you want?
Ooh, that's tough. I would say the Raptors, because they have, a better chance maybe to make a longer run this year than they did last year.
Yep.
I think.
And they've got the experience of being in the playoffs.
Yes.
All right.
Now
closer situation.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Now, about the closers thing that you're talking about today, I think the Blue Jays need to get another reliever. Not just someone who's close, but also someone who can, you know, be a setup guy. Like, sort of like a little bit of both in case either it's Cecil or Loop that's going to close. I mean, you have to have a little bit of balance and be a little bit, you know, creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I think getting somebody from a free agency or trade that, or in the offseason would be good. Like, I was thinking of Brad Ziegler during the trade deadline. I know the Blue Jays didn't get him, but I'm thinking of him. But he's a submarine guy.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy I've heard of is Chad Qualls.
Right. He was apparently claimed by Detroit. On waivers, on revocable waivers. He's a veteran arm. He's been through the wars. I'll tell you this, Eddie. The bullpen, you know, think back to spring training. What were we all saying? Oh my God, the bullpen. Bullpen's like the most stable part of this team. The bullpen has imploded. And the good news, I guess, if you're a Jays fan, is that there are several examples of major league teams that have rebuilt bullpens on the fly without having to go out and blow their brains out in the free agent market. You should be able to piece together a bullpen without having to devote a tremendous amount of resources to it. Now, the Jays' current set of relievers, Aaron Loop, Brett Cecil, maybe Todd Redmond. I think all of them can play a role next year. Dustin McGowan as well, pardon me. I can tell you, if you talk to people within the organization, they don't see any of those four, obviously not Redmond, but any of those other three as being closer candidates for a variety of reasons. Cecil, you can get an argument about from people. Because there were people that originally thought Brett Cecil was going to close in the majors. But if you heard our conversation between Kevin Barker and myself in Baseball Central today, the one thing I really believe this. Your closer needs to have a dynamite fastball. Brett's best pitch is his curve. And that's a feel pitch. I need my closer to have a dominant fastball. Casey Jansen's fastball is 100% location. And you can live with that and you can have some success with that. But I know there are people in that organization who have for the past 2 years, you know, looked at Casey and frankly, okay, when does this all end? When does this role end? When does he start getting hit? So that's a long way of saying, Eddie, that there are bullpen arms in the organization right now that can be part of a good bullpen. I don't see anybody who can close here. Which is one of the reasons this weekend I wrote about Aaron Sanchez being used out of the bullpen. I think Aaron Sanchez is not going to be your closer. That arm is too good to put an innings limit on. You know, as John Gibbons said, why would you want that arm for 45 innings when you can have it for 145? But you know what? This team has got so much to do in the offseason. And frankly, even if this team was in the wild card spot, I was talking about this back when the Jays were winning. They had a lot to do in the offseason between getting Melky Cabrera re-signed and figuring out what to do about Colby Rasmus and Casey Jansen. There's a lot of decisions this team needs to make. And this team was going to need a closer next season regardless, because I think Casey's time has come and gone in Toronto. I think there's a sense of, you know, that both Casey and the organization have been around each other for so long, there's time they want to move on. So they would have needed a closer anyhow. I just don't know how Alex Anthopoulos gets all this stuff done. But again, you can build a bullpen on the fly, and it doesn't take a lot of money. Ryan in Toronto, you're on Primetime Sports. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Jeff. No Jays today. Must be a good day.
You're a bad man. Got Buffalo Bisons baseball tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
At this point, it's better than the Jays, honestly.
All right, man.
Yeah, so I'm addressing the three-team question about the Toronto sports teams.
Yep.
Honestly, this answer might shock some people, but I don't think any of them are in that great of a position.
All right.
Including the Raps. But because, like, people got to look at the Raps season last year and put it in context. Like, if they were in the Western Conference, they probably wouldn't have made it. So, like, and, like, looking, building the future, I think the Raps are in the best position, though, but not because of their players, just because Masai is, like, a crazy scientist when it comes to deals and stuff, you know?
The other thing I see, Ryan, I'll tell you, and I'd like your take on this as well. The other thing, I think when LeBron left Miami and went to Cleveland, and I know they're building a team around him and Kevin Love, I think the fact that there isn't one super team in the East anymore helps the Raptors this year.
Like, oh,
there
yeah,
are good teams.
Sure.
There are good teams in the East. I'm not saying that the Raptors are better than Miami now or anything like that, but if you look at the teams in the East, Ryan, who scares you right now?
No, for sure. I'm just putting it in the context, like the end goal, like which team's closest to winning the championship. And like with this Raptors team, unless Jonas turns into like
Dirk Nowitzki.
Like a poor man's Shaq or something.
Or Shaq,
you know what
yes.
I mean? Just like a beast. Like, I don't see it happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, with these players. DeMar's great and all, but, like, he's still not very efficient. Same with Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I just think we need a little more pieces, and then, like, we might be able to build on that.
You clearly have...
But
you clearly have more faith in Masai than the other GMs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because Masai's proven. He's done a lot. Denver, he built a really good team there. But like, yeah, addressing your question, like, sure. If you're talking about like which team's going to make the playoffs, like which is the best bet, I still think it's the Raps just because like the East is very, like there's Cleveland and Chicago and then like eight teams that, you know, that could make the rest of the six.
Right. And if Derrick Rose goes down, Chicago's
exactly like there's one, you
yeah.
know? But, yeah, if you're talking about, like, who's making the play, I think the Raps could make the East Finals, maybe. Maybe if Derrick Rose goes down, you know? But
yeah, it's not, Ryan, I appreciate the call. Look, it's not out of the question. I'm not going to forecast that the Raptors go to the East Final or anything, but it's not out of the question totally. Again, I look at the East and I go, man, who scares me? I'm a Raptors fan. Who am I going, God, we can't face them. Granted, it's early. I know it's early. They're not even in camp yet. But I'm just, as you look at it right now, I don't know if Raptors fans have had this feeling before for a while. Maybe since going back to Vince's shot against Philly. There's really nobody in the East that I'm worried about. They're good teams. And I'll tell you what, if Derrick Rose is healthy, I think Chicago might be the best of them. But I'd take my chances. The Raptors playing the way they played last year? Hell yeah, I'd take my chances. Sean and Colberg, you're on Primetime Sports.
JB, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Sean. What's up?
Hey, that might be one of your better questions, Jeff.
Oh, I thought about it. I thought about it long and hard. Matt Marchese, our assistant producer, came up with it. So he gets credit for it.
You know what it is for me, Jeff?
What?
It's the guy I have the most confidence in.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the three, Masai is the one guy that you can definitely say that has basically did what he said he was going to do. Right?
Okay.
But relax. Don't worry about the Lowry thing. He just re-signed everybody. I think he's done a pretty good job. You know, Shanahan and Nonis, who knows what's happening there. Now, the key, you know, the only other thing I can tell you is as far as the Blue, I think the Blue Jays got a, if things are done right in the offseason, there's, and you know yourself, Jeff, because you're a baseball guy, there's some areas that need to be addressed.
Yeah, there's about five.
I think the Blue Jays got a decent team for next year if things are done right. Some guys, can I ask you a question?
Yep.
What about Dustin McGowan? Do you think that he can do the closer role? The stuff is good, but does he have the mental makeup to do it?
Yeah, his stuff is good. Look, I love Dustin. He's a great guy. If you watch his body language on the mound, I don't know. I don't see him. I have a hard time seeing him be a closer in a, you know, for example, a closer in a competitive team. I'd love it to happen because it'd be a great story, but I don't see it. I think Dustin is probably best served where he is right now.
Right, coming in after the starter, right?
Sure. I think he's best served where he is right now. And, you know, he's now had to run a year where he's been pretty healthy, so I wouldn't want to change it. I wouldn't want to fool around with it. I'd like to leave things the way they are with him. Yeah, I know I'm going to get accused of being a Roger shill here, and I don't give a rat's ass about that, but I've been telling people for a while, I'm disappointed where the team is right now. I'm disappointed that they've stopped hitting. But in a lot of ways, I feel better about this team than I have in a long time. And I'm sorry. I just feel that way. I like the pitching. I like the payroll flexibility. And yeah, there are going to be people who are saying you're already looking forward to next year, yada, yada. I'm just saying. I'm looking ahead. I'm really comfortable where this team is. That's all. Stephen Barry, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
Just a couple of things. Really, I think that the team that just came off a playoff appearance is the easy answer.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of the reasons that all the other callers have said, but I really do think, and I think a lot of the fan base will collectively roll their eyes, but I really do think the Leafs are right there.
Okay.
This is a team that made the playoffs 2 years ago, was in playoff position almost all of last year. I don't know what happened. 8-game losing streak, the bottom fell out, and it was a terrible way to end that season. But to be honest, I think that they've got a steady goaltender in there in Bernier instead of a battler like Reimer. I'm not a Reimer hater by any means, but I feel a lot more comfortable with Bernier. And I really do like some of the moves that they've made. And I really think that this team is a playoff team. That last year is more of an aberration, not obviously comparing it to the past 40 years of
right.
I really do think that the team of 2 years ago and the playoff performance they put on is a lot more in line with what I would expect from this team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
But I think they're right there. The Jays are a bit further away, and I think that's obvious. What do you think about Brandon Morrow possibly reverting back to being a closer for the Jays with the young arms they have coming up into the rotation and how he seems to not be able to survive a full season of starting?
He's got the stuff. The Seattle Mariners wanted him to close. The thing is, he's got a $10 million option for next year. Now, considering how patient this organization has been with this guy, and considering how, frankly, Brandon Morrow, I think, owes this organization a few things. It would be interesting to see what would happen if somehow the sides could reach an agreement and he re-signed for less money. That doesn't often happen, though. But I guess if you're Brandon Morrow, you look at it and go, well, if they don't exercise my option, I become a free agent. Who's going to take a chance in me after a finger tendon sheath injury? I had a chance this past weekend. There are four scouts in town doing their work for next year, and I asked one of them about Brandon Morrow. And this guy's seen Brandon Morrow a lot, scouted him in college. And he said, and I understand what he was saying. He said, you know what? He said, the guy's just had, he said, he's had some freaky injuries. He's had odd injuries. Teams are reluctant to invest a lot of money in guys who have a history, and Brandon Morrow's got a history of odd injuries. He has the stuff to close, without question. I don't know if the clock works for him and the Blue Jays. I really don't. I still think Brandon Morrow, ultimately his best value to this team would have been if he was in the starting rotation. Because that's an issue that I talk about, and I know people in the organization are concerned about. The age difference between Burley, Dickey, and the younger guys. You kind of need somebody between them at a different stage of their career. And whether that person's the ace or whatever, you just need that. That was supposed to be Brandon Morrow. But at $10 million, I don't know. Let me ask you this. If you wouldn't invest in Josh Johnson this year, wouldn't make him a qualifying offer. If you wouldn't invest in Josh Johnson this year, why would you invest in Brandon Morrow? Beyond the fact that you've spent a lot of money on this guy and devoted a lot of time with him. It's an interesting question, though, and I'm sure in the Jays' perfect world, they would work something out with Brandon Morrow and he would come back at a reduced contract. I don't know if Brandon Morrow wants to do that. Quite frankly, I don't know what Brandon Morrow wants. Andrew in London, you're in Primetime Sports. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Jeff. I'm with you on the Brandon Morrow thing. I guess I'm just answering your question here with what do you do with Brandon Morrow and what's going on with him. But I think the question about Brandon Morrow is exactly what you said. What does he want? Because you know there's going to be at least 5 or 10 other teams that have low budgets that will give Brandon Morrow a chance and need a hole filled in their starting rotation, because you're not going to convince Brandon Morrow to go to the closer right now as it is with that option available for him. So it ain't happening with the Jays, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him in closer, but he ain't going there.
Yeah, I tend to think that I tend to side with you in that.
Yeah, and as for like the best, I guess, future outlook for the teams, the Raptors have it right now exactly because of what everyone's been saying. The East is low and not very much strength out there in the East, exactly like you said. But I think the other facet about it is the Raptors have arguably, I think, the deepest bench in the Eastern Conference compared to, say, anyone else. If you look at Cleveland has, they just alluded to what Dang and Jarrett Jack are both gone, two key guys to their off the bench now. Now they have 6-7 guys to play, and as San Antonio just approved, if you can throw 10 guys at them, I know Cleveland's not Miami, but they are turning into the new Miami, which is building around LeBron. You can beat the team up, and the Raptors are young, and they have a lot of depth on that team, which is going to be good for them, I think.
Yeah, it's there's a lot to like about the way the Raptors are constructed. There's getting Kyle Lowry redone and keeping him in the fold, coupled with DeMar DeRozan. At some point, they're going to have to address DeMar DeRozan's situation again. But it's easy to like the way the Raptors are constructed. The Raptors had a very useful bench last year. What I like about the Raptors, and maybe this is, I guess, part of the debate today, and we are asking callers which of Toronto's three teams are, I'm going to say, closest to the finish line. I'm not going to say which of the three is closest to championship, but which of the three do you, of the three teams, the Raps, the Leafs, and the Jays, do you look at and you go, okay, yeah, they're going in the right direction? I would make the case that the Raptors are probably the Toronto team that best fits its coach, too. Like, I don't think Randy Carlisle and the Leafs and the Leafs players will ever be in the same page. I don't see that working out. But this is a Dwayne Casey team. Right? This is a team that can play his style. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that there are going to be nights where they're not going to be able to play Dwayne Casey style, but this is a team that kind of rediscovered or developed a defensive DNA last year. It's a team that is much, much truer to Dwayne Casey's vision of how the game is played, I would argue, than the Leafs are with Randy Carlisle. And as far as the Jays and John Gibbons are concerned, I think the inconsistency of the Jays' bullpen, the implosion of Casey Jansen in the second half, the inability of Steve Delabar to get anybody out, that has really hamstrung John Gibbons. You judge a manager based on how he handles his bullpen. A lot of the other stuff that happens, it's not on him. Especially in the American League. Especially the way the game is played. And John Gibbons has been throwing darts a lot this year with the bullpen. You're closing his eyes and, oh, I'll put him in. So that, I think, is what the caller was getting to about the Raptors as well. The mesh between Dwayne Casey and his players. I'm not talking about chemistry and all that crap. I'm talking about the strategic, tactical mesh between him and his players, I think, is better than the other teams in Toronto. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Toronto's three teams, Raptors, the Leafs, the Blue Jays. Which of them's on the best course? Which of those three teams do you look at and say that they've got it going? They're going in the right direction. Ryan in Ottawa, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, yeah, I want to talk about the Blue Jays, but to answer your question, I think the Raptors are definitely the one that's headed in the right direction the most, just based on they got that new practice facility going in, and they got the All-Star game going in. They have Drake, so everything's pointing in the right direction for them. But I want to talk about the Blue Jays. You mentioned the bullpen earlier, and the big thing I think that we've learned is you can't really expect anything from a bullpen. Going into the season, there's Santos, Delabar, Jansen. They've all kind of just, they haven't performed up to expectations. So what they should have done last offseason is kind of trade those guys on the peak of their value. And if you're looking at towards next season, maybe Cecil's exactly a guy like that. He throws 40% curveballs this year, and guys that throw breaking balls that much, usually their arms don't hold up for a very long period of time. So maybe he's a guy you kind of capitalize on and just kind of, you got to kind of get some luck with that bullpen and kind of look at addressing those position needs a lot more than the bullpen.
Well, they did come close to making a deal involving Sergio Santos in the offseason with Texas. I think Texas, and somebody slapped John Daniels in the face and said, wake up. They talked to teams about Steve Delabar as far back as last year. The Detroit Tigers made a couple of inquiries about Steve Delabar last year. One of them, either before or just after the All-Star break. because they were looking for relief help, and teams viewed Steve Dalabar as the type of guy that could come in right away and close games for them or pitch in short relief. But you're right. You really have to be aware of guys who come out of nowhere and have great years out of the bullpen. You've really got to look at that and almost say to yourself, that was great. It's not happening again. And then if it does, hey, bonus. But you have to look at that, take a real hard look at it and say, is this guy really going to give me not just the innings, but the quality of innings the next time around? And the thing I will say with Brett Cecil is I think Brett Cecil's showing now the ability to stay healthy. Although I know that there's some in the organization who think that they worry about his ability to stay healthy. But Brett Cecil's showing he can handle back-to-back years of pretty good workload. Same with Aaron Loop. So that would give me a little bit of hope if I'm the Blue Jays looking at the bullpen and going, I've got Loop, I've got Cecil. But I really believe after that, you got McGowan too, but after that, I think all bets are off. Could be a vastly different bullpen next year. Vastly different. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Back with more of your calls. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.